Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
This morning, I'm going to take about 10 minutes to talk to you about, let me back up. In past years, when I've had an opportunity to come up and talk to everybody, I've been talking about advocacy for music education and talking about the importance of the choir and the service. But today, I thought I would talk about something that is so incredibly obscure, something that we hardly ever address at all, and that is our wonderful red hymnal. This little puppy right here. And I'm going to tell you why I am in love with the hymnal, why I think the hymnal is a really cool thing. So I took this information that I'm going to share loosely from a guy named John DeWitt. And John had written an article, and I read the article, and I read, that article's so interesting, I think I could recreate something like that for our church that would match our church. And talking about the hymnal and why I feel the hymnal is a really cool thing, why I'm championing it right now. So it goes something like this. The use of the hymnal in the life of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church has changed dramatically over the last 20 years. Due to the installation of our wonderful screen up there and the people that run it so efficiently in the back, we rarely crack the cover of the red book. When we look at our hymnals in the wooden racks in the backs of the pews in front of us, we probably are not thinking of them as a compelling and racy romance novel or as an action-packed science fiction thriller. We're just thinking of them as some book that I look at every once in a while. Nonetheless, many congregations do use hymnals every week in both public worship and in church education and pastoral care. Still others are rediscovering the value of the hymnals, reintroducing selective use of them alongside the projected word. For example, there are different kinds of hymnals that are used and that we use here at Pacific Beach United Methodist Church. One is the handy-dandy red hymnal that we all see in front of us in the rack, in the pew rack. There are 715 hymns or pages in this hymnal that we use. But Bob and Dee and I use a supplement that the Methodist Church came out with. They didn't want to create a whole new hymnal. This hymnal's been around since 1983. They said, why would we create a whole new hymnal? That one's perfectly good. Let's just create a supplement and add more contemporary hymns. So we use what is called the Faith We Sing, and we use it often. And then they decided, well, the Faith We Sing is really good, but it's been around for about 10 years. Let's create another one called Worship and Song. So we have a third supplement. So we've got our hymnal, supplement number one, and supplement number two. Now, when you look in your bulletin, you notice that we put the hymn numbers in the bulletin every Sunday. I want to give a caveat to that right now. If you are so inspired at the end of this message to use your hymn book on the last hymn, don't do it. And I'll tell you why. I wrote the words for all the hymns we're singing today. So you will not find the words to the hymn in your hymnal. You'll have to just go to the screen for today. But after today, feel free to use the hymnal. But I wanted to let you know that if you're in your bulletin, look at your bulletin right now and look at the top of the second page. Go to the top of the second page. What praise song is at the top of that page? Go ahead. Say it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Correct. And what number do you see after that? Yeah, it's like 2034, right? And so you're going, well, Ron, why, if there's only 715 songs in the hymnal, why does this say 2034 for the song of the hymn or the number of the hymn? Well, it's because everything in the black book is coded under a 2000 number. So that means it comes out of this book, The Faith We Sing. And just think of it as the big black book. Occasionally, you will see a number in the bulletin that is in the 3000s. And when you see a number in the bulletin that's in the 3000s, that means it comes from this book, the new green book. So 2000 is the first supplement, 3000 is the second supplement. And so if you've ever wondered that, I've had a couple people ask me occasionally, what is that big number that appears after? Now you know what that number is. I also use hymnals from other denominations. Like I'll use the Presbyterian hymnal, the Catholic hymnal, the Baptist and Nazarene hymnals, and sometimes even the Mormon hymnal. The Mormon hymnal has some great songs of family and faith in it. So occasionally I'll choose one from the Mormon hymnal as well. Believe it or not, hymnals make several valuable contributions to Christian life today. Here are the seven reasons that I champion the hymnal. Reason number one, hymnals are especially well-suited to good group singing of many kinds of songs. Here at PBUMC, we project all of our music, including both hymns and praise songs. I am in full support of this method of singing, but I'd like to open us up to other possibilities to enhance our already projected words. To emphasize the difference between projected praise songs and hymns found in our hymnals, let's look at a couple of examples. Now, praise songs are well served by projecting the text because it allows us to free up our hands for clapping, and the text can be cycled easily through slides. Singing from a hymnal can certainly inhibit our participation in these songs because we can't clap if we've got a hymnal. I mean, we could clap, but then we'd have to, you know, go like that. So it's not practical for the praise songs. But for people who read music and who like to sing alto, tenor, and bass, hymnals are especially useful because the parts are present on the page. Now, this morning, we've sung a couple of kinds of songs. We sang a praise song called Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. And Blessed Be the Name of the Lord is one of my favorites. And it's rousing and it's fun and the congregation sings it really well. And it's really kind of interesting because praise songs repeat the same words over and over again. Have you noticed? So in Blessed Be the Name of the Lord, we sing Blessed Be the Name of the Lord six times in a row. And then we go on to the next phrase, a second phrase. And the second phrase is, and I always have to look at it to make sure I say it right, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. And then we sing that twice. And then we go back and we sing, Blessed be the name of the Lord six more times. And the Lord is a strong tower two more times. So we're mantraing this song over and over again with a lot of excitement. It's exciting music. It's fun to play. It's fun to sing. But theologically, it's kind of shallow. It doesn't tell the story, really, of our theology. It makes a couple statements about our theology, but it doesn't tell the story about our theology. Then, earlier in the sermon, or in the service, rather, we sang a hymn out of the hymnal. Now, yes, I created the words, but I created the words to match the way the hymnal presents music. The hymnal tells a theological story in every hymn. So the first verse of what we sang this morning was a praise to God. Thank you, God. It's so cool that Jesus rose from the dead. The second verse is inviting Jesus, come into my heart. This is what I want you to do in me. And the third verse is saying, okay, now that I've got it here, I want to send it out of this place. The third verse talks about how we're going to send it out. So the words of the first verse were these. Morning has broken, like the first morning, bright colors gleaming on bright Sunday, fresh from the dawn. Jesus has risen, voices are singing, triumph and victory, heartache is gone. And the heartache of the passion and the crucifixion is gone. Jesus has risen. We're praising God. That's what the first verse is about, the praise. The second verse is the invitation verse. Bright are our spirits, bright is our future. We reiterate the bright peace. No more in sorrow. Jesus has come. Jesus has come to us. Dwell in our hearts, Lord. Come to me and dwell in my heart, Lord. Be our vision so we can vision out to see where you want us to go and what you want us to do, longing to serve thee here and at home. So we're asking Jesus to come and be with us. The third and final verse is the sending. Thine be the glory on this bright Sunday, serving you daily, deed, word, and song. We're going to get out here, and we're not just going to have our religious experience here. We're going to carry our religious experience out there, spreading the good news of your compassion. That's what we want to do. We want to spread it to friends and family all the day long. We're taking it out of these walls. We're not letting it live here. We're going to take it out there. Now, when we sing these kinds of texts from a screen, we can't see the whole thing at once. It's very easy to lose track of where we are in the song. The Bible verses can be the same way. But the wonderful thing about Bob is he'll show us a verse, and then he'll tell us about the verse, and he'll tell us about the context and weave it in very nicely. But in a hymn, we can't stop singing a hymn and then start, okay, now that line meant blah, 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 blah. So we sing the hymn straight through and keep going. Congregations do not have to settle for one way of presenting songs, whether in print or via projection. We have a number of ways. We have our hymnal and the projector. Number two, hymnals are portable. Hymnals can travel easily to Sunday school rooms, summer camps, hospital rooms, family rooms, and more. Many congregations that no longer use hymnals or songbooks for worship are realizing that they, without intending to, no longer sing together in places that lack projection equipment. It's way harder to grab this projection equipment and try to carry it over to another room than it is to pick up our hymnal and go. And so what happens is we end up singing only a narrow range of songs that the congregation know from memory. This means that we sing less or we don't sing at all in Bible study, in council, in staff meetings, or in other gatherings. The hymnal becomes our portable method of having music at our fingertips. Number three, the hymnals are ideal for home piano keyboard devotional songs. Those of you who know Jesse Hodge, he has a keyboard at home, and Lewis and I go over to their place occasionally for dinner, and Jess and I will sit down at the piano and we'll start playing away on hymns. It's the easiest thing to play, and we have a big time. We'll route through five or six or seven or eight, maybe eight hymns. Sometimes we sing and sometimes we just play. It's a lot of fun. A couple of Christmases ago, my brother-in-law, Boyd Moore, grabbed several hymnals from church and brought them home. After we had opened presents and had lunch, he distributed the hymnals and stated that we were going to have a family carol sing-along in the living room, much to the chagrin of the younger people in the family. But dutifully, because my 95-year-old mother was there, we all filed in, and Boyd handed me this little keyboard that was battery-operated, and away we went. We ended up romping down the road singing everything from Silent Night to Away in a Manger, and not just one verse, but every verse. Sometimes we were laughing, sometimes we were crying. It was an amazing experience that now the young people ask us to do every year. A devotional tour of the hymnal might begin with a favorite song, like Amazing Grace or How Great Thou Art, but then veer off into uncharted territory, rather like a spiritual off-road vehicle. We all need a David and Roger in our home, because both David and Roger play, and they play nicely, and I don't know whether you guys ever, do you ever romp down the road on hymns? Just have a good time? Yep, they do. Yeah, and so people might start calling you now, especially at Christmas time. Would you be available? Okay, good. Thanks. All right. Number four, hymnals are an efficient one-stop worship planning resource. Bob, D, Vicky, and I can swiftly thumb through Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, 4th of July music in a heartbeat just by using this book. It would take us 25 or 30 clicks on a computer to find the information that we want to find that's right here in this book. Plus, in the back of the book, you don't need to look right now, but in the back of the book, there are all these incredible resources that give you page numbers of hymns that you might like, or it gives you a glossary that says, these hymns are good for weddings, these hymns are good for memorials, these hymns are great for Thanksgiving, these hymns are great for family gathering, right in the back of this. It's a wonderful resource all the way through. Number five, well-designed hymnals offer a vision of a balanced thematic diet. I don't know about you guys, but I really watch what I eat, and I like to make sure I'm getting the right balance of foods that will be nutritional. And one of the main goals of any hymnal is to give people access to a balanced musical diet, full of all the right kinds of proteins and carbohydrates to sustain the life of the faith. Every congregation, whether it uses hymnals or not, needs a tool for imagining a balanced diet. Our red hymnal turns out to be very useful as a resource. Number six, hymnals give people across a cultural memory bank that many desperately want. So in other words, a cultural memory bank of things that we remember when we sing hymns. It's hard to think of a more poignant and accessible way of engaging history by singing the songs used by Christians down through the centuries. Using a hymnal, we can sing the grand and memorable hymns of Martin Luther, Isaac Watts, John and Charles Wesley, Orthodox prayer refrains, and passionate revival hymns from Asia, Africa, and the United States. When this congregation sings Holy, 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 I find myself transported and welling up with the significance of this hymn. you sing with incredible gusto. I've never heard anything in any other church that sounds like it when we sing a hymn like Holy, Holy, Holy. It's amazing. It brings to me memories of my own spiritual development as a child. Thank you for doing that, and thank you to the hymnal for still having it in place. Number seven, a hymnal can be a surprisingly effective catechism for both brand new and lifelong Christians. Hymnals offer pithy, I love that word, pithy. Hymnals offer pithy, memorable, and poetic answers to a host of questions that people have about the Christian faith. They summarize vast, sweeping biblical themes in the space of a single page, often with remarkable nuance. Even if a congregation doesn't sing, "Christ the Lord is risen today," that text is a fine way to introduce people to the significance of Christ's death and resurrection. It's a powerful tool for learning about our faith for people at every stage of their spiritual journey. So, in summary, hymnals are a good resource. It's pretty hard to beat a single book that does so many things all at once. And it's hard to believe that this exciting resource rests just a couple feet away from us every Sunday. Amen. So I'm going to switch gears here for a moment because we have some people we want to say thank you to today. We did this in the first service, but I want to kind of honor them in the second service. We'll do a little more quickly in this service because you will notice that they've all received these handy-dandy little medals for the work they've done. So I'm going to invite the members of the Voices of Praise to come up to the platform right now. You can just come in mass right up here to the platform. And I'm going to call them by name because I want to just recognize the commitment that they've made to the music ministry here at church. You know, it takes a lot to sing in the choir Sunday after Sunday for a full year. And we're looking at the 2015 church year, and all of the people that you're seeing in front of you have sung at one time or another, and many of them almost every Sunday for the past year. Their names are, and I want you to just kind of wave at the congregation when I call your name, Tim Adams, Hope Anderson, Anna Benavides, Yvonne Brown, Julia Cox, Pam Edmondson, Terry Frank, Frank Glazier, Bill Harper, Sue Yen Kuhn, Lori Oliver, Luis Perez, Mark Poinsett, those people aren't here, Catherine Trimble, Heidi Trimble, Aaron Vanderhyde, Leah Walker, and Pat Walker. I said Leah, Leanne, I'm sorry, Leanne, Leanne Walker. Now, of these people that you see standing in front of you, 11 of these people are in the 40 and over club. And what the 40 and over club is, people that have been here 40 Sundays in a given, I want to say school year, in a given church year. They've been here 40 Sundays. 40 out of 52 is pretty remarkable. And I'm going to share with you how many Sundays each person has been here. So wave again when I call your name. Yvonne Brown has been here 40 Sundays. Terry Frank has been here 42. Mark Poinsett has been here 43. Frank Glazer, 44, Aaron Vanderhyde, 45, Lori Oliver, 47, Luis Perez, 48, Pat Walker, 48, that's out of 52, and one person in this choir has been here 50 Sundays out of 52, and that's Tim Adams. Yes. It's not just the choir that has offered so many wonderful blessings and talents to the church, but it's also other people like our associate directors, Russ Sperling and Steve Spence. Russ is out of town today, but Steve Spence is here running sound. Wave back there. And go ahead. Yeah. Steve directs the choir, and Russ, when I can't, and on special occasions when I want to sing or play the organ. And so it's wonderful to have them here. Our pianists, Rodney Gervin, Adam Marshall, Brenda Martin, Laura Williams, who's with us right now over there. Laura, stand up and come on up. And Dr. Sidney Yin, who was in the first service this morning. We are so blessed to have world-class, and I mean world-class pianists in this church that come and play on a rotation. Just a big round of applause for our incredible pianists. Where would we be without Vicki Trimble and the children's choral ministries at this church? Vicki, come up here right now. Vicki is amazing. She's been at this church about 50 years, and she has faithfully worked with the children's choir and done a beautiful job. Her associate director is Liesl Hansen, who was here in the last service, and her accompanists are Steve Spence and Jesse Hodge, who was here also in the last service. Again, Vicki, thank you so much for your incredible work here at PBUMC. And finally, we have our amazing bell choir led by Amy Burrow. And don't clap yet, because I want to tell you, Amy Burrow is amazing. Pastor April approached her and said, I heard that you had a background in bells. Somebody told me, I won't tell you who, but it was your husband. And she said, would you come and lead our bell choir? And Amy said, well, okay. From that, Amy moved us into handbells, did everything she needed to do to get us to purchase handbells and stands and lead us incredibly through all this work. We love her. This is truly a labor of love, and all voluntary. Amy, come on up here, and thank you so much for all the work you do. The bell choir members are, and I want, if you're out there, I want you to come up. Most of them are in the choir, but Pam, Beth, Terry Frank, Sue Young Kuhn, Heidi Trimble, Gail Fellman, Steve Gillespie, Hope Anderson, me, and Tim Adams all are in the bell choir. Now, I am a human being who is very frail and who makes mistakes. If there's anybody out there that has been involved in any way in the music ministry here this year, please feel free to come up. Lady J, I'm looking at you, and I'm, no, okay. So if I've missed you, please know that it's my human frailty, and I'd like you to join us up here. Again, I want to say thank you for your dedication to the ministry of this church. You've done an amazing job. And congregation, thank you for your incredible support. We are going to forego the prayer song today, and we're going to go right into our time of prayer. And during our time of prayer, we're going to sing a prayer of dedication to all these folks that are standing up here, and some that need to sit, which is fine. But we're going to sing say a prayer of dedication to them and to us as a congregation, because we really are one. We'll move from that into the Lord's Prayer. So pray with me if you would. Lord God, we thank you for your many blessings to this congregation, the blessing of incredible music, the blessing of great musicians who are dedicated to your ministry, knowing that this is not a performance opportunity, that this is a ministry opportunity to the congregants of this church and to each of us as we sing these words and are blessed by what the words mean. Lord God, we thank you for this congregation that so supports incredibly the arts and ministry music of this church. They let us know every day that this is a blessing, and we thank you for that. Lord, we know that there are things in this congregation this morning that people are working with in their lives. There's some joys, and there are some major concerns. And Lord, we want to lift those concerns silently to you right now. As we are praying in this place, we pray that you will incline your ear to us, and you will hear these prayers to you about joys and concerns as we silently meditate these prayers. Lord God, be with us in this place as we continue this service. As we go out of here, make us your presence in the world and your ministers to the world around us. We pray for our world that, Lord, you will intervene in all the trouble spots and that you will elevate all the bright spots, that they may be glorified in your presence. We pray now the words that your Son taught us to pray when he was here, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, for deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.